This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're going to tell me when this press conference begins, correct?
Correct.
And we will throw it. Buzz Williams about to be introduced as Maryland's new basketball coach. The second time Maryland's gone through the introduction of a new basketball coach in three seasons. And Buzz Williams is the guy. I'll give you guys a chance to weigh in, Maryland fans, after we, you know, carry some of this press conference live. In the meantime, as we wait for it to begin, I know you're not following this. I know it has created some betting opportunities, but this crown tournament out in Las Vegas, for those that don't know what I'm talking about, 16 teams are playing in a college basketball tournament called the Crown. All of the games are in Vegas. There were four round of 16 games on Monday night, four last night. The quarterfinal games begin tonight. Georgetown's playing. You know, Ed Cooley in Georgetown. You know, Ed Cooley's exit, by the way, from Providence wasn't the smoothest of all time. Thinking about unsmooth exits. But Georgetown won their first round game. They're an 8.5-point dog tonight against Nebraska. Villanova's in it. Apparently Willard was interviewed last night during the broadcast. I didn't see it. But that's going on. I didn't even know about it until this weekend. Had no idea. There is a mock two-round draft out this morning on ESPN.com. Field Yates put it out there. And he's got Washington selecting at number 29 overall. Nick Emanuori, he's a safety for South Carolina. He ran 4.38 at the combine at 6'3 and 220 pounds. Does that sound familiar?
Sounds a little familiar for the guy whose birthday was actually yesterday.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, Sean Taylor, born on April Fool's, but he was anything but a fool.
4.38 at 220 and 6'3"? That's moving. I asked you, I said, is that the guy that was single digit? I think he wore number 9 at South Carolina. Big, I mean, athletic dude. That would be strange if it were safety, but, you know, best player available is the way they're going to go unless the best player available is a quarterback, which it won't be at 29 overall. They'll obviously also try to trade back, I would assume, to pick up more picks, the picks that they have sent to the teams to get in order, Marshawn Lattimore, Deebo Samuel, and Laremy Tunsil. In the second round, Field Yates has Washington trading at 61 so that the Saints can get a quarterback, Will Howard. Do you think Will Howard is a night two pick?
I don't know that I would use a night two pick on Will Howard, but I have been wrong in the past. I'm going to cut you off here, Kevin. We got Buzz Williams at the podium right now.
Let's go to Buzz Williams, introductory press conference.
Claps for a coach, so I appreciate you guys being nice to me. I'm humbled. I'm really thankful. And I want to go a little slower than I normally do because I want to make sure that I articulate all of the emotions that have transpired over the last 48 hours. Dr. Pines, Colleen, Coach Williams, all of the departmental staff members, other coaches, distinguished alums, the people that I know, the people that I don't know. I appreciate you taking time to be here. You guys have heard this before. Life is often measured in time. But it's remembered in moments. And so, in a genuine way, in an humble way, I am grateful that my family has an opportunity to be a part of this moment. And I know Colleen's already introduced them, but I've spent most of my adult life studying greats like Coach, watching every press conference like this, every post-game press conference, reading every newspaper article when that was important. I've studied coaches my whole life, not ever thinking that my name would be in that mix, nor am I deserving. But part of what has happened over the last 25 years that I've been married, press conferences by my wife are judged relative to the timeline of when the coach introduces their wife. So I may fail the rest of this 7 minutes. I'm not going to fail on this time. I was married June the 10th, 2000. This is my wife, Corey. We will have been married 25 years. We have four children. Zira is just graduated from James Madison and works in the Ministry of Young Life in Virginia. Calvin is a senior in college at Texas A&M. It's potentially likely that he could graduate with a college diploma from Texas A&M. In June, Mason is a freshman in college playing Division III basketball at East Texas Baptist University. If you haven't heard of it, it's in Texas, in East Texas. And Addison is our youngest. She's a sophomore in high school. And so we moved plane, trains, automobiles, and had a couple of boats involved for all of us to be here since this all went down. So thank you guys for giving us this moment to remember the rest of our life. It's you guys know differing pieces and differing levels of this, and everybody has different opinions on what's right, what's wrong, what it should be like. But it's known that everything has changed. And I'm not talking about who now sits in this seat. I'm just talking about the business of college athletics. It has been rapid change at a rate that none of us have ever seen, whether we were once in it or currently in it. And I think change is going to stay. That's the one thing that is constant, is change. But one thing that we've tried to focus on wherever we have been on are the things that don't change. And most of us, if not all of us, know the value of being on a team. And how team, whether it's basketball, whether it's football with Coach Laxley, whether it's women's basketball with Coach Freeze, being on a team, there's something that doesn't change. There's something that's life-changing about being on a team. And so to have the opportunity to be on this team means the world to me, but I also understand the magnitude and the mantle that it is to be the steward of that team. And I do not take any portion of it on the floor, off the floor, in any sort of arrogant way. Teams change us. Teams grow us up. We have to learn how to be a great teammate. We have to learn how to help win. And there's different measurements on winning. It's easy to figure it out when there's a scoreboard, but not everything in life has a scoreboard. And everybody believes winning is a little different as it relates to when there's not one. But we all know that being on a team grows us up. Being on a team helps flesh out selfishness. Being on a team helps us to learn how to lead ourselves and lead others better. And so of all of the change that's happening in college athletics, some of which we have good things to say, some of which we may have differing thoughts on, we can spend ad nauseum time on that. But to talk about what has been created for all of the teams we've been on, those are some of the fondest memories we ever have had. And so teams can be a basketball team. Team can be men's basketball within the athletic department. Teams can be men's basketball within this institution. This team relative to this state. There's a lot of lenses, in my opinion, in how you can view a team. And as best I can understand, as of this moment in time, whatever it's been, 4.5 hours since I've been on this campus, I understand the magnitude and the responsibility that comes with it. And I can assure you that from the intent of my heart and the best way that I can, we'll represent all of those teams in a way that will be honoring and respectful and show great reverence to the former players, the former coaches, the things that have been created. Nor do I think that it's because that's how I got the job. I am not deserving of any of those things that Colleen mentioned, but I have great care and love for all of the former players, all of the former coaches, all of the former administrators, all the former presidents, all the former ADs, all the former donors, all of those teams that I was able to be a part of. I also want to honor them because I know that that's what led to this moment for my family. And to have an ego and think that...
You're listening to the introductory press conference, Buzz Williams making his opening remarks out in College Park.
This program in the right way. And so it's a delicate act on how to be honoring and respectful of what has been created and show respect to those teams, while at the same time, I know the teams that I have been a part of and those young men and women that have given their best to allow those teams to maybe be overachievers and win on the scoreboard in the arena, but also win on the scoreboard when there's not a scoreboard. And so all I can tell you is I understand. And all I can give to you is not the word culture that everybody says, not how are we going to play. I understand all of that. And I'm not even trying to dismiss the importance of all of that. But I think what's important is for you to know that anybody associated with the team that we'll be a part of now will give their best. And we'll give our best from early in the morning until we can't go anymore. And all of us will have an insatiable desire to figure out how to change our best. Because staying status quo, we know, is never good enough. And so we'll give our best, and we need every opportunity for our newest team to learn about the former teams. And we need to develop growth and trust and life-changing relationships on the new team so we can be the best team. And I understand that there are a lot of positions on a team, and I've kind of got lost in all of the new titles in athletic administration. And I've gotten lost in all of the new titles even on my staff that I don't know what they're called anymore. But I do know that regardless of what you're called, whether you came here as a freshman, whether you came here from the portal, whether you're the director or the deputy or the starter or the sub, you have a role on the team. And we want to do our best to play a role on the team represented in this arena, represented on this campus, represented in this department, represented in this institution, and of all of the boring press conferences that you've listened to, all I can tell you is I'll try real hard. And the intent of my heart will not be selfish. And the intent of my heart will be to be the best that we can be to represent all of the teams. And so thanks for changing the itinerary of your day. Thanks for caring about the program. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. And thank you for allowing us to have a seat on Team Bus One on what this new team is going to be, and feeling as though what we believe in allows the next team to grow and be our best. Thank you guys very much.
All right, that was Buzz Williams, the introductory press conference. It looks like he's walking off stage without any questions. That's an odd, unless they're going to come back to questions for President Pines and the current athletic director, Colleen Sorum. So there you go. Buzz Williams, introductory remarks. I mean, some really good opening remarks, especially in talking about his family. Really funny sense of humor in talking about the one son who's a D3 college basketball player at East Baptist Texas University. He said, if you haven't heard of it, it's in Texas and it's in East Texas. But lots of, you know, team platitude kind of talking stuff, but excellent communicator, seems to have a sense of humor. All behind you here for people like me who are, you know, lifelong Terps. All right. If you want to weigh in on Maryland's new hire, Buzz Williams, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Phone lines are open. Do you like the hire? Don't you like the hire? Why not? Your chance to weigh in. We'll take calls next. Phone lines are open, 301-230-0980. If you want to weigh in on your thoughts on Maryland hiring Buzz Williams, the Texas A&M coach, to be their next basketball coach. We carried his introductory remarks out in College Park. Didn't look like there were questions from the media following. Maybe there are. I don't know. It's possible, I guess.
He's actually just starting the questioning now. So do you want to take this or do you want to pass? It was weird. He went.
I mean,
off
you
stage,
know, I want to listen to it, but I can go back and listen to it at the end. Let's take some calls. Everybody that wants to weigh in with their reaction to the hiring of Buzz Williams, 301-230-0980. Let me just, you know, recap what my thoughts were at the beginning of this show. I think the university to be able to pull off a hiring, given the circumstances and the conditions that they were in, the situation that they were in, to be able to hire somebody with his resume is really, you know, it was a big time accomplishment. You know, the portal is open for a few more days to save next season. And I know that perhaps some of you, it isn't all about next season, but to even have a chance to avoid, you know, absolute short-term carnage and destruction, they had to be able to move quickly. It's fortunate that he was available. One of the reasons he was available is because, like was the case at Marquette and Virginia Tech before Texas A&M, there appears to be a bit of a shelf life with Buzz Williams and his coaching stints. You know, 6 years at Marquette, 5 at Virginia Tech, 6 at Texas A&M, and now he is at Maryland. But I think first and foremost, pretty impressive that Maryland was able to pull off a hire like this, given the situation they were in. Fortunate that there was somebody of his caliber with his resume available to come. Number two is this. As far as a coach goes, and we heard this from the guy that covers Texas A&M sports, defensively, his teams play so hard. They are physical. They are tough. And that was, you know, a hallmark of Gary Williams teams. It was a hallmark of Mark Turgeon teams. And it was a hallmark of Kevin Willard teams. I mean, Maryland's not had a coach really in the last, you know, 30 years
35 years that has, you know, not understood how to coach defensive basketball. And that has been, you know, from afar, but, you know, talking to people yesterday and having the guests that we had on today and having Gary on the show earlier, his teams have been consistently very good defensive teams. At times, they have struggled to score. They've struggled to be smooth operating offensive basketball teams. But you're getting somebody who has, you know, coached in big leagues, the Big East, the ACC, the SEC. He's got the experience. He's got the resume. He's never been to a Final Four, never won a national championship. Obviously, you got to get to a Final Four to win a national championship. But he's been to four Sweet 16s. He's been to an Elite Eight. And he has the experience necessary to coach in today's game. A game, you know, which is very transactional and very year to year. He is a developer of men, a great leader, which we've heard over and over again. And the thing that kept coming up in my conversations with people yesterday, he is a grinder. This is what he lives for. Basketball and family, but basketball and family and not a lot of other things. He's a little bit quirky. He's certainly intelligent, as you could hear, a phenomenal communicator, as you could hear in the introductory remarks. He, you know, certainly has the ability to go on, and he is thoughtful and bright, has a sense of humor. But ultimately, for whatever reason, over the years, it has burnt out. There's been an expiration date. He's 52. He's at arguably the best basketball school he's been at during his career. And, you know, I think they did a good job in hiring him. Offensively, we could, you know, be back to some of the teams we watched pre-Willard, although Willard was, you know, like that at times. Now it's about, you know, do you have enough money to pay really good players? For me, the one overarching thought when I heard that it was official is that it's a great hire considering the circumstances. I just wanted Maryland to think and swing in a bigger manner. And that could have been a big swing going after, say, Chris Beard, or it could have been an out-of-the-box swing going for someone like Luke Murray, the assistant for Danny Hurley at Connecticut. But under the circumstances, hard to think that they could have done a ton better. And it puts, you know, an immediate credibility and turnaround possibility. Not that you're turning it around from 27-9 in a Sweet 16, but the thought of you're going to be, you know, in the wilderness for a period of time, it's just not the way the sport's built now. So we'll see what happens over the next few days. Players he can get in the portal. Recruiting the portal is as important as anything. Whether or not he can keep some of his own, like Rodney Rice. But I'm excited and over, you know, at least the idea that I don't have to go 2 years before watching a competitive basketball team again. And again, no guarantees on next year, but at least next year's back in play. 301-230-0980. Phone lines are open. Denton, I didn't ask you earlier because we were pressed for time because Gary was about to join us. And if you miss Gary Williams, he was on the show with us earlier in the first hour. You can listen to it at theteam980.com or by downloading the Odyssey app. But what was your reaction? Because you like Maryland basketball as well.
I also kind of covered Buzz Williams when he was at Virginia Tech all those years ago when I was interning at a radio station in Central Virginia. I think the hire is fine. It's the safe hire. That's how I view this. It's the safe hire. He clearly didn't want to be a Texas A&M anymore, and Maryland desperately needed a new basketball coach. I think he'll do a really good job of at least keeping Maryland in the conversation of relevancy after there was a little bit of fear as to what was going to happen once Kevin Willard departed. I do think that he'll bring in a decent roster in 2025. I think all of those things are true, but I don't know that Buzz Williams is the guy that you hire as a championship level coach. I don't think he's at that level, but it's very clear that Maryland also needs to get back to the level where they can go and hire a championship level coach because they had a guy who was decent who just left for Villanova. I do think that Buzz is, at least based off of, certainly off of resume, I do think he is a slightly better basketball coach than Kevin Willard, but I also think Kevin Willard hasn't been given some of the resources that other people have been to really flourish, so we'll see what he becomes at Villanova. I think Buzz is a good dude. He's going to be really easy to root for, but this it just feels like the safest of the hires that they were going to make. Not always a bad thing, by the way, but it's a safe hire.
Yeah, and the fact that it was available, you could say there are some reddish flags available and posted to that. But at the same time, look, in this day and age of college sports, you got to have money and you got to be able to pay players and get the best players available. It's preferable that those players are older and established, even though Duke is in the Final Four with a younger basketball team, although they do have some experience. But I think you're in that, you know, the sport right now, older, physically matured men versus younger, big-time prospects. You got to recruit the portal well. And the portal can be players that played here locally, and they don't have to be. Witness Jacoby Gillespie and then Rodney Rice. Rodney Rice played here locally. Gillespie didn't. But two great gets in the portal last year. You don't ignore talents like Derek Queen and Cooper Flagg, obviously, when you can get them. And the number one prospect in the 2027 class is in our backyard, played at Blake High School in Montgomery County this year. I would certainly think he would more likely than not finish his high school career. He's got 2 years left somewhere else. I would imagine some sort of an announcement on that is coming. But you know, being able to pay players and Maryland perhaps being in a better position today than it even was 2 to 3 weeks ago may make this a better job for Buzz Williams than it was for the last few coaches. And you got to get players, bottom line. All right, 301-230-0980. If you want to jump on, we do have an open line. Let's start with Ronnie. Ronnie, go ahead.
No problem.
Ronnie, you got to turn down your phone, your radio, or get off the phone, one or the other.
Hello?
Ronnie, you're on.
Hello?
Ronnie.
I'm sorry, I just got pulled over. Kevin, I just got pulled over by the police. Isn't that ironic? But peace and love.
Peace and love, Ronnie. And I wish, what did you get pulled over for?
He says my back tag doesn't have the year and date sticker, which is funny. But anyway, you know what I showed him, so I'm good. But
yes, I do.
Kevin,
go ahead.
Yeah, I go back to Jim O'Brien and when Maryland beat South Carolina.
I know.
When they were in the ACC. I'm also a graduate of Maryland. I think this is a good hire. I my personal opinion. I believe he's better than the last two hires. You know, that's arguable. But the one thing I worry about, who's his staff? Have they announced who the staff is?
No, not yet. I know he's got an assistant at A&M that I think's been with him for a while. But Gary suggested that he'd love, now that you're allowed up to six assistants, he'd love somebody from Maryland to be on that staff. And I think, you know, guys like Blake and Gravis Vasquez are guys, you know, that certainly would be in the conversation. I don't know if Blake's going to come be an assistant at Maryland, but to have somebody like Gravis on the staff would be great. But as Gary also mentioned, Ronnie, he's not getting in the middle of it. You know, you got to give the coach the ability to bring the staff and hire the staff that he's most comfortable with.
Well, and you can check this out. I understand Keith Foof was overseas coaching, and he wants to come back. I think that would be a great hire. The only thing that concerns me about this hire, and I'm going to get off the phone, is what connections does he have to the East Coast? Because as you know, a lot of times coaching is about your connections in a certain area. So, you know, go Terps, and we'll see. But I think it's a good hire, Kevin.
All right, thanks, Ronnie. Appreciate it. Let's go to Samaj. Samaj, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Hey, Coach. How you doing? Thanks for taking
Good,
my
Samaj.
Call. Denton, you know what it is. Hey, man. Kevin, all I can say, first off, I'm going to toggle off on Ronnie. That was a great question about the staff, because generally the staff, your assistant coaches, are your primary recruiters. And, yeah, if Buzz doesn't have any connections, God knows, I pray he adds a couple guys.
Well, he was at Virginia Tech for 5 years, so he certainly knows the area.
That's true. Blacksburg isn't that far. It's still DMV, yeah. I guess. So, anyway, but, man, what the hell? 48 hours, 24 hours, what a change. I mean, just yesterday I was telling my wife how putrid this coming season is going to look and be. And just that fast, we hired Buzz Williams. And just give you my take on Buzz. When Gary left, before we hired Turgeon, I had a list of my own. And in order, it was Shaka, it was Nick Cronin, and it was Buzz. Maybe he was my third pick. So I'm really pleased. I am, though, concerned about this burnout thing, this 5-6 year burnout thing. I really pray that, as you pointed out, hopefully he's grown past that, and Maryland is a good fit for him, and he can get comfortable here.
Look,
I damn sure would like
him. Samaj, if I told you that he was here for 5 years, but you went to the tournament 4 years, and you went to an Elite Eight and two Sweet 16s, we both understand that we want more. We want a Final Four. We want a contention for a national championship. But the sport is totally different than it used to be. We see these moves all the time. We see these moves that are unseemly moves all the time. And at this point, like, I don't even know how, if you're a college sports fan, you think about anything beyond the next year anyway, because the team completely changes over. And, you know, he was 5 years at Tech, 6 at Marquette, 6 at A&M. Look, if he stays here for 6, he's 58 years old. Where's he going from that point if he's had great success? Maybe Kentucky, maybe Carolina. Who knows if Maryland won a couple of national championships. But if he had that kind of success that he could go on to some place much better, we probably got a lot out of him over the 5 or 6 years.
No doubt. In fact, and also in created a profile that would be attractive to another blue blood, big name, big hire, big swing coach like you mentioned. This could be the build-up to that if he does give us 5-6 years. But I'm with you, man. If he takes us to – listen, more than anything, Kevin, like you, like most of the Terp Nation, I just want to be a consistent top 20, 25, top 15 team again, because with that, you got a shot. Tournament time. So,
that's right.
Hey, man, thanks for taking my call. Go Terps.
Yeah.
And peace and blessings, fellas.
Yeah, appreciate it so much. And let me just add to that, because Maryland's fan base has become more bandwagon-y than it ever was, you know, there's no doubt that there's truth in that. You just look at the trouble at times with attendance. You know, it's gone down and down and down. It's still, you know, top 20 in the country. You know, they still draw well relative to most programs. But we know the issues of half-filled, two-thirds filled arenas on cold January nights against Northwestern or, you know, a team like Rutgers. You know, the coaches have become the stars in a lot of these places, and you have a business to conduct with basketball. Winning's the most important thing, like it is anywhere else, but you got to be relevant year in and year out. Like, even this year, nobody knew until mid to late January that this was a team capable of going on a March run. They were 1-3 in the Big Ten. They were having trouble drawing, you know, to games. They weren't ranked or anywhere near ranked. You know, being a team that you go into a season and the team's ranked 10th, 11th, 12th, got big-time November games and high-profile matchups, that stuff matters to the business of what's going on. Even though it's a 1 month out of the year sport and performing big time in March helps, performing big time in March helps as long as the next year it's carryover with a team coming back that you believe is going to be as good, so that you get the buzz, no pun intended, on the upcoming team, so you can get back to where you were in the Gary days and at times with Turgeon where you were sold out, you know, before a season started. Let's go to Ian. Ian wants to weigh in, per usual. Go ahead.
Kevin, I called you the day Kevin Willard was hired, and I was disappointed in his March resume. Obviously, with Buzz Williams, he does bring a much better March resume, if you will, than either Turgeon or Willard, like you said. I agree with everything you said, that given the circumstance, they still don't have an AD, and to get a coach of his pedigree is good. But the shelf life is obviously a concern. Granted, college basketball isn't the sport where coaches stay 20, 30 years anymore. So you're right. If you gave the parameters of they made the tournament 4 out of 6 years, 5 out of 6 years, couple of Sweet 16s in the Elite Eight, I think it would be good and would set them up down the road. But hearing your guest, I mean, those are some red flags that you're hearing, because you've articulated many times how the administration has been difficult with Gary, Mark, and Kevin. And to hear him get into, I don't know what to describe it, a contentious relationship over an active player being having his jersey retired, which is odd in and of itself, and then to admit that he's petulant, my goodness, I don't think that's going to go over well here, where you already have an administration that is known to be quote-unquote difficult. That's a red flag for me, because I think he's of that ilk where I'm the coach, I can run the program the way I want. And like you said, Maryland's not that place. I just wonder if he will even last 6 years here, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he certainly strikes me at first listen to be certainly articulate, good communicator. I think there's probably, you know, some reasonable IQ and EQ in there. We heard about how players absolutely love him and the players come right first for him. You know, those things are very important. You know, one of the things you had with the guy that I liked a lot in Mark Turgeon, you had a phenomenal representative for the university, a coach that his players still love him to this day. He still is in communication with. But, you know, it's bottom line business. It, you know, all these things are,
exactly.
Even though right those things are very important to the people involved. And if you, you know, understand and want to understand how important they are, you know, overall to the place in which they work and the people around them. But it's so bottom line driven now. You know, you got to win in March, period. And we'll see if he can do it with a defensive minded team. But hopefully the ability now versus where they were before, not that they were starving, but in a better position to contend and pay players that can really get it done. Anyway,
yeah,
thanks for the
call. Can I add one thing?
Yeah.
I mean, the concern with him is, you're right, it's a bottom line business, this, that, the other, is that what exactly are his kind of aspirations here? Because you're right, he's moved.
Well, we heard a lot more of team platitude, you know, stuff right, from him right in the introductory. Right. I have not heard any of the Q&A that followed, so I'm interested to hear some of that. But, and, you know, these press conferences, Ian, for every place. I mean, you know, they're sales jobs, man. I mean, nobody threw a better press conference than Ed Cooley did when he came here. You know, and I love Cooley as a coach, and I know you absolutely would not love him because he hasn't gotten beyond the Sweet 16 in March, but I think he's great X's and O's. I think he's a communicator. I think he's a leader. He left in incredibly messy fashion from Providence. Yep. But, you know, you just don't know until you see it play out. And coaches grow and they evolve. You know, Kevin Willard and Mark Turgeon both got to be better coaches, you know, especially given the environment in which they were coaching the Big Ten, where for whatever reason, even though it's a football conference, just great coaches in the Big Ten and a grind of a league over two and a half months every year. And both of those guys said they were much better coaches, you know, having coached in the Big Ten. So maybe he becomes a much better coach. Maybe he becomes less antsy and more content as he grows older. And maybe the program overall just ends up in a better overall place. You just, things change and people evolve and things don't always stay the same. Let's go to D.C. in Upper Marlboro. D.C., go ahead.
Great day, Kevin.
Yeah, what's up, D.C.?
I like the hire not much, man. I like the hire because he has an energy about himself. And just listening to players talk about him, we already know whatever talent he recruits and whatever talent he pays, as we know, that's how it goes. They're going to play hard for him. And I think that's going to result in wins. And I also think it's also going to result in more fans being involved. So a lot of the stuff that people are talking about off the court, having problems with the – I think that's all going to come with the energy that he brings and the wins. I think everything is going to look good. And as far as him leaving in 6 years, like you said, he'll be 58. I think he likes the area. He can recruit the Maryland kids, and he'll be able to recruit the South VA kids. You know what I mean? Well, not just the Maryland kids, but – metropolitan area kids along with the South Virginia kids, because he was at Virginia Tech before. And I think it's going to work out good, man. I like the hire.
Thanks, DC. Appreciate it. Yeah, look, it's very possible that the last couple of weeks, the best result is that they're going to have a chance to hire a new athletic director. And that's going to be a big hire. Really big hire, because the basketball coach just took the gig without an AD. And the AD in the athletic department in general has been challenging for the basketball coaches over the years. We'll finish up with something that Dan Quinn talked about yesterday next. So yesterday, when the coaches down at the owners' meetings, the NFC coaches spoke, Dan Quinn was asked a lot, and we talked about some of it yesterday on the show. There was a piece of conversation about Jaden Daniels that we didn't talk about. And part of it was Dan Quinn answering the question or the implication that, you know, how is he going to improve? You know, we've talked about, where's he going to improve? Like, where are we going to say next year, oh my God, he got much better at that? Because there's nothing, at least to the naked eye, that would appear that he was majorly flawed in. But Quinn said that, you know, Daniels can improve himself through footwork and positioning. The team wants him to continue improving his decision-making on the run. And he emphasized that while he's got some work to do there, it improved as the season went along. You know, he said, quote, we thought, you know, he made a lot of improvement extending plays. Early on in the season, they were extending to run. And then, you know, and then they got to extending to throw the football down the field. But for him, the footwork, that's the one thing I know he's going to dig in hard on this year. Closed quote. Okay, so we just got, you know, the list, footwork, get better at it. And, you know, if we see much improved results, they may say it was much better footwork. Hard to improve the results from last year. When he started to answer that question about decision making, I wonder if they feel like the decision making in the zone read game could improve, or if it was just that the team's played it well defensively, or that they didn't, you know, have great blocking in some of those circumstances. I really felt like in many of those games, there were decisions that if he had made to give rather than to keep, or to keep rather than to give, the plays would have turned out better. But anyway, there you go. Footwork. That's what he needs to work on in the offseason. We were wondering what it was. Decision-making, but that improved as the season went on. Footwork is the answer. All right, back tomorrow. Chris is up next.